All right, it's the 26th of February. It's Buffalo Bill Cody's birthday. Think about that. I thought you'd want to know that. And it's our fifth week. We're ready to start chapter 5, our fifth week on credit. But first, we need a good joke. Anybody got a good joke? No? Well, I got to tell you my bad joke. Okay. I warned you about this. Did you hear about the alligator that walked into the bar?
Yep.
And who snuck in? And the bear, the mushroom, the duck, the rhinoceros?
No.
You didn't hear about the rhinoceros that walked into a bar and ordered a beer? And the bartender said, sure, would you like to charge it? See, because he's a rhinoceros. Okay. She brings actually not very good jokes either. But somebody in the 123 class, the morning class, she always brings a joke, but it's usually just as, not quite as bad. No, do you want to hear her joke this morning? Okay. So there was this Mexican magician. Have you heard this one before? And his big thing was the disappearing act. So he gets his, because he's Mexican, so he speaks Spanish, right? So he gets his audience to count the three in Spanish, right? So uno, dos. So the audience goes uno, dos, and he disappears without a trace.
Oh my God, my daughter's gonna love that.
Linda brought that one. Anyway, let's get started. Announcement: the taxes are due on Thursday. Not your taxes, your tax assignment. And of course, chapter 1 and chapter 2 are due. So if you haven't turned them in, please turn them in. Submit them, even if they're late. That's a penalty that grows over time. Then chapter 5, credit, we're going to discuss today. But first, we want to take a look at some spreadsheets to do our check reconciliation. Okay? So, from chapter 4, we learn how to do a check reconciliation using manual sheets. And I have a few extras that, if you want one, come up and take it after class. So let's take a look, though, now at the spreadsheets. Now, there are two of them out there. Hello? Okay. On the one. Oh, you know what? Do you know how to do this thing? On the right-hand side, down. I'll do it. Do you believe they're going to knock down those buildings over there, 300s, and then they're going to knock down these? It's very sad. It's stupid. The buildings are fine. They're not falling down. I don't know what their problem is. But in the 121 website, we have a couple of spreadsheets here. Checkbook 1 and Checkbook 2. There are probably a million, maybe more, checkbook spreadsheets out there. And you can use Excuse or Expel, Excess.
What's it called?
Excel, right. You can use Excel. Or as I like to do, I like to use Google Docs. Well, let's use Excel this time. So right-click, and I already showed you Google Docs, and then save it. And I like to save it to your desktop or wherever. So save it to wherever you want to save it to. So there it is. And then call up Excuse. And now it says, oh, you could have viruses. And so here's how we'll protect you. We'll ask you if it's okay. And you say, okay, it's okay. Ah, I just got a virus. But did I do checkbook 2? I was supposed to do checkbook 1 first. I'm sorry. Can you take a joke? It's been one of those decades, folks. Here, checkbook 1. Save the link as checkbook 1. And then call it up. Bum, 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 bum. So now, here, enable editing. So this is the check register that we created manually on Thursday. And what I suggest you do is create one of these electronically because it's a hell of a lot easier. You put in the check number, the date, the description, the check amount, the subtractions. Here are the additions. And here are other charges like a 35-25 cent charge. But notice this is gray. This is a formula. And again, if you're not familiar with spreadsheets, you know, once you start playing with it, you'll go, it's not that hard. So we start off with the starting balance. And then there's the bingo, right? Take what's in F4, equal sign means starting formula, minus what's over in D5, minus any other charges in G5, and then add any deposits or credits in E5. And then that does the formula for you. So now, if you made any kind of mistake, like, oh my goodness, this was actually supposed to be $95, you type in 95, and the spreadsheet recalculates. Cool? Can you do that? Because it's a hell of a lot easier. It eliminates. Many times people make a mistake, it's here. This is where they make a mistake. It's just one simple arithmetic error, and it screws up. So now if you have to have another transaction, and maybe it's check number 104, and whatever the date is, 26th of February, Buffalo Bill Cody's birthday. And who is this to? Odessa? Do you know Odessa? Odessa Goodone? Odessa Goodone? You know Odessa? Okay, wait. So $34.56. Now watch, this is so cool! You can do copy and paste. I'm still working on copy and paste, but this one, you don't have to do it. You just get this little magic little box right here. Just pull it down, and it automatically recreates the formula, adjusting, because now, you know, this was F8, and this is F9, so it moves the formulas down. Questions, thoughts? Now, what happens? We showed you that when a transaction is cleared, you want to put a check mark. But here, you just highlight it, and then where the hell is it? Oh, here it is, this one. You then change, what color, what's an ugly color there? How about that one? You just change the color. And now you know that these are the ones that have cleared. Is that cute? You like that? No? You're not impressed? Well, I use it. I don't know. I hope you do, because it'll make life a whole lot better when you're trying to reconcile. The other one, and here, look, there's the reconciliation sheet. Electronic. You type in the amounts, and it does the calculations for you. So you decide if you want to use it manually. I really suggest that you do it manually a few times, because that's going to be on the exam. But more importantly, you understand how the reconciliation process works, and you understand what you're doing, and then you can use the electronic versions. Let's go take a look at the other one. Here's checkbook 2. And some people say, you know, this is the problem that we did on Thursday. They say, why don't you just put the service charge in the ATM fee? Why don't you just put it in your, okay, I'll put it in the register. So go ahead and put those on the register. And then it gets a little tricky to do the reconciliation. You don't need it. You can use the reconciliation sheet, but now you can do what I call an ad hoc reconciliation. You type in what the bank says you have, because this is from the bank's, you know, balance from their statement, or just go online and look at it. And then this formula is actually kind of tricky. You do it on the fly. You take what is in the bank balance, right there, F16. You add any credits that have not been confirmed yet. These are deposits in transit. So that's E10. And then you subtract any of the transactions that have not cleared. So the ones without the blue, D6 and D8. And you get the reconciliation number that should match this number right here. And if it doesn't match, you're out of balance. So play with it that way. What do you think? Cool? You'd be happy with those? They're yours. I'm sure there's millions of them out there also. So let's go back to the presentation, because we're ready to discuss credit. And I hope you will forgive me, because this is where I get to play the backwoods Southern Baptist hellfire and damnation preacher, who is here to warn you of the evils and the dangers of going down that path of credit cards. Sorry. But, you know, you might think I'm crazy, and you may be right, but there's a reason. In fact, I'm going to show it to you first. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to show you first, and then we shouldn't even do it. We shouldn't walk away. You'd be done. But hey, I didn't come up with this quote, but I really like this quote. Now, it's a little raw, so my apologies. Borrowing money is like wetting your bed in the middle of the night. At first, all you feel is warmth and release. But very, very quickly comes the cold, awful discomfort of reality. You like that one? A little raw, my apologies. But boy, it feels so good. Oh no, what did I just do? What did I just do? You got your ABCDs? I didn't bring extras. That was dumb. What is consumer credit? What is consumer credit?
Well, first of all, what is credit, right?
It's a fancy word for a loan, right? Credit is an arrangement to receive cash, goods, or services now, pay for them in the future. Consumer credit is the use of credit for personal needs. So this excludes a home loan, a home loan, home improvement, and also higher education, or just we should just say education loans, student loans, education loans. So these consumer credit loans are for personal needs, because there's three ways consumers can finance your current purchases. And this is what I asked you. If you got your goals back, all right, where is this coming from? You know, tell me, did you get it from earnings? Did you take your money from savings? Did you borrow against future income? Did you get rid of something else? Okay, tell me. And you've probably seen it, right? And also, if you didn't get full credit, if you didn't get the 10 points, and I ask you, please revise and redo them. Because as Mark Twain said, America's best writer, writing is 10% writing and 90% rewriting. Cool? Okay, good. So there are trade-offs involved in using credit. So we're going to ask you a little question. Whoops. Come on, sweetheart. Come on. Okay. Why don't you tell me? Okay, you already saw the answer. Consumer credit increases or decreases your purchasing power? You already saw the answer. B is a B. Okay, you're supposed to say A, B, C. And some people say A, it makes you able to buy more things. And some people say B, no. Why? It's B. It's going to be on your test. Don't get it wrong, because it's bad for my self-esteem. Credit, people are taught to think that credit increases their purchasing power. Consumer credit. Okay, we're talking about consumer credit. Home loans, home improvements, education, that's different. That's sometimes called good debt because you're buying something that you can live in, right? But consumer credit decreases your purchasing power. Why? Why does it decrease your purchasing power? Because it's not free. And so what it does is it ties up future income. You pay more for the items you buy if you use consumer credit. And we're going to discuss the difference between using your credit card like a debit card and using it like, and this is what this guy was trying to get you to do. Just pay it right off. Okay. There's a finance charge. And the finance charge is the total dollar amount you pay for the loan. This includes any interest and any fees that are required for the loan. So they can't just say, oh, you know, our interest rate's really low, and then make you have to pay all these other fees, these service fees or whatever fees that they give. Not allowed. Any fee that's required in the loan has to be discussed in the annual percentage rate. Remember, the annual percentage yield was last week, what we earned. The annual percentage rate is what we pay. And because of the Truth in Lending Act, the Republicrats and demagogues can work together in the sandbox. They did this back in the 70s. We now can see one credit card charging us 14%, the other one's charging us 20%. Yes, the 20% one is charging us more than the 14% one. It used to be the 14% one would then add on all these other fees that you had to pay, and the Congress said, no. Consumers have a right to know how much it's going to cost them on an annual percentage basis, and that's what the APR is. And they are required to provide you with accurate and complete costs, complete terms, and annual percentage rate. They must disclose it and this information in a clear and conspicuous manner and in a form you can keep, but often in a font that you cannot possibly read. And that is where they put all the information. They don't want you to read. Such what happens if you miss a single payment, your interest rate goes to 1,000%, and they come and take your house and your firstborn, and you will be in debt for them for the rest of your life, but that will not be that long since you will work yourself to death trying to pay off the interest, but they don't care because they will have made enough money to buy one or maybe two yachts and a new gas barbecue and a trip. If you get hauled off into bankruptcy court, or you get hauled off for a judgment, is the judge going to ask you if you read the credit terms? Are they going to ask you if you read the contract?
No.
What are they going to ask?
Did you sign it?
Did you sign it? Or did you click here? That's all they care. They don't care if you read the damn thing. You're an adult. You're over 18 or over. You sign the damn thing. You're on the hook. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Do you read the fine print? Come on, don't lie to me. No, who reads it? You can't. They put it in a form that you can't possibly read. But, you know, it's really useful. Those things that you get with your credit card. If you ever have insomnia, what you do is just lay in bed and start reading that document very quickly. So they're doing you a very big favor. So remember that. Okay, so now, we're going to learn simple interest. We made reference to it back in chapter 1, where we learned about compound interest. But some of you, I'm sure you've already seen this. Interest, simple interest, is equal to principal times rate times time. And it's really not that hard, okay? It's used for most installment loans, closed-end loans. But the credit card companies use a few other things that we'll take a look at. We're not going to actually learn how to do these because they're fairly sophisticated. They use their computers do all it. But let's do some principal times rate times time calculations. So on the back of the first page, the second page, is a worksheet. Okay, is Mauricio here? No. Is Alexis here?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Guillermo Mata, Kiana, y Kenya. No. Okay. And Carlos Martinez?
Yes.
Okay, we'll pass that back to Carlos, please. Okay. Remember, if you don't get 100%, you don't get all the 10 points or whatever it is, please resubmit for further credit. Okay, so let's take a look. Oh, let's put it on the screen. Why don't I do that, Frank? Oh, that's a good idea, Frank. Okay, so let's get the interest calculation worksheet. So who will read number one? Not everybody jump at once. Anybody want to read number one for me? Yes. Alvaro.
These are borrowed $3,000 for 6 months at 9% annual simple interest. How much interest does the need to pay?
So who is this? Denise Hurt. Boy, do they. Yeah. Boy, do they hurt. Denise Hurt. Okay, wait. So pretty straightforward, right? What's the principle? Everyone should say 3,000. Wait till I ask you. What's the principal? What's the annual interest rate? It's 9%. So 3,000 times 9%. But do we type that into our calculator? What do you type? Some of your calculators can do it, but do the decimal. 0.0, not 0.9. That's 90%. And now the time. What's the time? 6 months. Curveball. Yeah, the annual the interest rate calculated is time in years. So here's the easy part. Now some of you can go, it's a half a year, I can just do half. No. Just remember that you have to divide by 12. If it's months, you have to divide by 12. Because how many months in a year? How many months in a year? Unless you're in Ethiopia, they have 13. Okay. And I'm waiting for somebody to actually go out and check to make sure I'm not lying. See, some people, how do you know this stuff? I just make it up. Nobody bothers to check. Okay, here's where you can learn how to do a little calculator trick. Type 3,000 in your calculator, times 0.09, times 6, and then don't hit the equal sign. Just hit the divide symbol, and then type 12 equals. It's a stagey step. You don't have to do this 6 divided by 12. And then, so do it. That 3,000 times 0.09 times 6 divided by 12. How much? 135. Is that what you got? Piece of cake? Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. Now, the credit card companies are always on the look to see how we could better serve our customers. So they're going to, when you get a credit card, they're going to start sending you these convenience checks. They're so convenient. Use me. You earned it. You deserve it. So who will read number two? How about it there, Jan? Can we count on you? Okay, so they send you these things, right? Now, normally when you have a credit card, we're going to talk about the float, which you make the purchase and you have 25 days or whatever, a month or so, to pay it off, right? You don't get any interest. But these things, if you use them, they hit you with interest from the day you use them. Plus, there's usually anywhere 2, 3, 4% cash advance fee. So before they do anything else, they're going to hit you with a 4% fee. In one day. Ooh. That's why when you grow up, you want to be a bank. Right? I'm telling you. It's a license to print money. How do you know a bank's making money? The doors are open yet. Can you remember this? Do you remember some of this? How do you know a bank's making money? You can tell your friends that's a good joke. I think so. It's a finance joke. I mean, not too many finance jokes. You know how you make a small fortune in the stock market? You start with a large fortune. Okay, so when we have a finance joke, we got to use it, right? So first, before we do anything else, what are they going to charge her? 300 times 4%, 0.04, $12. Check to make sure. Don't let the people. Yeah, $12. So right off the bat, she has just increased her purchase from $300. It is now 312. Her principal is now $312. Yes.
So the 18%, would it be from the 312 or just the 300?
No, it's just for the 18% is going to be on the 312. Yeah, this is now the principal. You're right. That's a good question. Yeah, you're a little ahead of ourselves. We want to make sure everybody understands that you now are looking at a balance, a principal of $312. You with me? Now, what's the interest rate? Danielle had it. 18%. And what's the time? Remember, 0.18. And what's the time? 1 month divided by 12 months per year. Because it's yearly, annual percentage rate. So, to make life very easy, you just do 312 times 0.18 or 0.18 times 1 divided by 12, equal sign, and you'll get the interest for the month. I'm sorry? The 312 is our new principal. We paid $300, but they hit us with a cash advance fee of 4%. So that's $12 that they tack onto the principal. $4.68? Okay, so our interest for the month is $4.68. That's 18% a year. You know, it doesn't look like much, but the banks are just making out like bandits. They're just remember the future value calculations? We did 10%, and if we get 10%, we're really happy. They're getting 18% off of people, or more. So now the interest was $4.68. So how much is she actually going to look at now? How much? If she paid the thing in full, it'd be $312 plus the $4.68, right? Am I going too fast? $316.68. So in chapter 3, we learned that it really doesn't cost us $300 because we have to pay the taxes to the federal government and the state government. And now, if we use the credit card, it's going to cost us even more on top of whatever we paid. So, does using consumer credit increase or decrease your purchasing power? And I'll say it. Now, don't get it wrong on the exam, okay? tell my wife, they don't listen. I don't want to be a kid. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. So let's continue. Okay, now, the credit cards, though, they don't actually use this formula. They use it, but they hide it in what is called the average daily balance method. And that's what most credit cards use. And there's just different versions we'll see on the next slide. What they do, their computers are so sophisticated, they keep track of your balance every single day. And they multiply it on a daily basis. So they're charging you interest, not, you know, bits of money, 0.03 cents or whatever, 0.5 cents. But they're doing it because they go up to 20 digits. And they're hitting you with interest on every single day. That's the average daily balance method. Now, if you carry over a balance, the new purchases will be included in your average daily balance calculation. So that's why you want to pay the damn thing off every month. That's called the float. You buy it with a credit card, you have a month or so, something like 20 days, 25 days, to pay it off. You pay the whole thing off, no interest. Do they want you to do that? No, they want you to pay the minimum balance because that's the way they're going to make most money. The adjusted balance method is used by some credit unions. New purchases are not taken into account and all payments are deducted from your previous balance before the interest is added. This is common amongst credit unions. The previous balance method is sort of in between, and then the two-cycle average is the worst. That's you. Even if you pay off the balance in the next time, they're still going to hit you with interest. And this is not very common. American Express. They were the ones that were famous for using this. So if you really are interested in this, you want to learn about this, you want to go into the credit card industry and make a lot of money, check out that website and do your research. But we're not going to ask you. We're just going to ask you to do this. That's all we're going to ask you to do. Okay? Do you remember our $299 stereo? Mm-hmm. Yeah? It costs us not quite twice, but one and a half, one and two-thirds type. What if we had purchased it with a credit card, only paid the minimum payments, 20%, 2.2% minimum? The price is doubled. It will cost us twice as much if we purchase it on credit and only make the minimum payments. And because they're all after-tax dollars, depending on our marginal tax rate, it could cost us anywhere from $900 to $1,200. Do you see this in the advertisements? Where people are like this. They're all so happy. They give orgasm pills or something like that. Here's your credit card. Well, yeah, they'll hit you at a higher one if your credit's not good, but they'll try to get as high as they can. The worst I've ever seen was 29.9%. Never seen anything higher than that. 30%. I want you to do those future value calculations. You can't. Our table doesn't go that high. We can find you a table of 30%. And the $2 million that you created is $150 million.
So the APR, is that something that you can't,
You can negotiate. You can call up the credit card company and you say, look, these other people are offering me 14.9%. I think I might go with them. And they'll go, okay, yeah, we'll give you 14.9. Or they'll say, no, go. No way. We don't want you anymore. It's business. Do business.
For a larger purchase, if you need to use credit, you could go to your credit union maybe?
Yeah, for larger purchases, depending on what it is, you know, a car or something like that, credit unions love car loans. I mean, that's their bread and butter. And so they give you usually the better deal. Sometimes, I'm not so much anymore, but for a while there, the dealerships were giving you 0.09 or something like that. But really, what's going on here? To take that, you have to give up the extra $1,000 or $2,000 incentive, something like that. So it's usually one or the other. But that's 0.9% or that's pretty darn cheap. But now short-term interest rates are going up. The Federal Reserve Bank is responsible for the short-term interest rates, and they've been ratcheting up in short-term interest rates. So anybody in the market for a car? Are you trying to finance it?
I have no idea.
You haven't even talked about them yet.
I think I'm going to finance it, but I'm going to try to pay at least
a bit. Good. Go to a credit union. You have a credit union?
Yeah.
Yeah, talk to your credit union because that's their bread. They love you. Every couple of months, Mission Federal has been very, very good to me. I keep telling them, don't send me these damn things. Don't send them to me. I ain't buying a car for $50,000. You're pre-approved for a car for $50,000. No, thank you. I don't want a car. What's that car going to be worth in 10 years?
Nothing.
8 grand.
2,000.
What?
Maybe like 8 grand.
8, if you're lucky, yeah. Maybe 5. Depends. You might be good. Terry, did you have a question? No, I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. So, are you going to use your credit card to buy the $299 stereo? No. See, when should you use personal credit for what you'll hear people call good debt? I hate that term. I don't think it's a good term. But really, are you going to buy your house free and clear? Not likely, folks, unless you move to Tijuana or Arkansas or someplace. And I love when I get goals. I want to have, in 10 years, $400,000 to buy a house. Good luck, I hope maybe you live under a rock or something like that. But no, you're going to borrow money to buy a house, right? It's not that big a deal. Student loans, that's why, some of you have maybe not huge student loans, but some of you have student loans. You're investing in yourself. The industry knows that you're going to spend a long time take a long time to pay it off. And then home improvement. You're investing in your home. Does the home improvement really increase the value of your house? Sometimes. Adding another bathroom, another bedroom, something like that, yeah. But redoing the kitchen, no. Buying a pool, that makes it worse. A lot of people don't want your house. But you go to places like Las Vegas and Phoenix, every house has a pool, so figure it out. No. So, are these good reasons to buy, to use debt? Yeah, because you got a
wise home purchase and don't become house
rich. Wise home purchase? Yeah, no, we'll talk about home purchases. We don't want to go overboard. But yeah, this is. I hate that term when you hear people say good debt. So when should you use consumer debt? The use of credit to buy personal items. When should you use it? That's a good answer. Oh, all right. In case of an emergency, the car had a baby, your sister needs a new transmission, you're called away to Cabo San Lucas because Tio Jose has a hangnail and you have to take care of him. Okay. Look, try our easy payment plan. 100% down, no monthly payments. Is that cool? See, your great-grandfathers, your great-grandmother, if they saw a refrigerator, one of these new ice boxes, at Montgomery Ward's or Sears, and they didn't have the cash, maybe it was $300, which was a lot of money then. Maybe they had $50. And it was on sale. And usually it's $350. So they go up and they say, here's $50. Will you put it on
layaway?
You ever hear layaway? Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, I heard it's coming back a little bit. Places like Walmart will let you do it. Look, I'll pay $50 now, and next few weeks I'll come up with the rest of the money. You hold it for me, and then I'll buy it. You with me? Understand that? That's not the American way now, is it? If you said that to them, would you hold it for a few weeks and while I get the money up, what would they do? No.
Oh, they give you a credit card.
Here, let's fill out this credit application. Why? Yeah, because they're going to make more money off the interest than they did selling you the thing, assuming you pay the minimum payment. And then, I love this one. It's 0% for 6 months or 12 months.
And then what happens?
Anybody know?
They tax you with all the interest.
They go back to the day you bought it. If you don't pay it off within 6 months or 12 months or 18 months, whatever, they go back to the day you bought it and they tack on the interest as if you had never had the 0% financing. That's why when you grow up, dear students, you want to be a bank. You think people get, oh yeah, I'm going to pay this off in 6 months, no doubt. No, they don't, because they didn't read the fine print. Or if they did, they fell asleep. Okay. So, before you use credit, these are from the books, right? For a major purchase, ask yourself some questions. How are we doing for time? Not bad. Could I pay cash? Can I make a down payment? Do I want to use savings for this purchase? Where? I keep asking you, where is the money coming from? Does purchase fit with my goals and budgets? Could I use the credit I need in some better way? Can I postpone this purchase? Oh, my God, postpone a purchase? What are the opportunity costs of postponing this purchase? What are the dollar and psychological costs of using credit for this purchase? What is it going to do to me? Is it going to increase my purchasing power or decrease my purchasing power? Why don't you say decrease? Okay, you think I'm crazy. You may be right. But you answer me, it actually makes you learn better. Is it going to increase my purchasing power or decrease my purchasing power?
Decrease.
Okay, so what are some of the advantages? And again, these are they're true. You get to use the goods and services now. Even when funds are low, it's convenient. Hang on a minute. We'll talk about convenience. It is safer than cash. I don't know about you, but I use a credit card, Costco, to buy gas, and they give you 4% back, which is a pretty darn good deal, but then it's automatically debited, and I don't have to carry around the cash. And they don't even take cash at Costco, do they? You can't pay cash for gasoline. The float time, the 1 month or so. Some people, this is what they do with their credit cards. They run everything through their credit cards to get airline miles, other bonuses, and the like, which is, yeah.
What I do is I use my credit card for everything, and I just pay off.
Right, so now we're going to get to that. You're using it like a debit card.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. What does the industry call you? You know?
Responsible?
No. A deadbeat. Now, you millennials don't really hear this term that much. It's more of a, it was used in our generation, but more, let me make sure I spelled it right. It was more the 1940s, 50s, deadbeat. A deadbeat is somebody who doesn't pay their debts. Oh, don't borrow, don't lend him money. He won't pay you back. He's a deadbeat. So the industry calls you a deadbeat because you pay your bill in time. Of course it is. That's right. But because he's not, they only got his needle in, they're not sucking out his blood, he's a deadbeat. And this is what's happening to our language. It's literally being turned upside down. And this is nothing new. This was predicted back in the 40s by a gentleman by the name of Eric Blair. Now, you may know him as George Orwell. How many people have read 1984? Raise your hands high. Come on. That's better than last semester's class. A lot better. Every single one of you need to read this book. Now, it's a dumb title. He didn't want to call it that. His publisher made him call it that. He wanted to call it The Last Man in Europe, which is another dumb title. But it's the scariest book you will ever read. In fact, the last four words, and don't go to the back of the page because you won't understand them, the last four words are considered the scariest words in the English language. If you want to be terrified, read 1984. If you want to fun, read Animal Farm first. He wrote this, which is the precursor to 1984. This this starts where this one left off. This one is fun. This one's last. And it's very quick. It's very quick. It's a very, very quick book. And then, see, this is really sad. How many people have read Huckleberry Finn? Raise your hand high. This is not right. You young folks don't like to read. I don't know what it is. You can get them on your cell phones. Go to the library. Have you been to the library? It's a really cool place to go. And I know the librarians look scary, but they're not. They're really nice. They will show you how you can download the books to your cell phone. And you can read them. And in 1984, they turned the language upside down. Strength is a weakness. Ignorance is strength. Truth is
like familiar
to right now. Yes, this is what's going on. This is what's going on right now. And he saw it all. He saw it all. Mr. Blair saw it all. So read Animal Farm. And how many people have read The Lord of the Rings? Come on. This is not good. You see, the movie series was good. It really was. But come on. You cannot compare it. So read The Hobbit. Read The Hobbit. And then don't read The Lord of the Rings until you read The Hobbit. Read The Hobbit, then read The Lord of the Rings. It will be the most enjoyment you can have with the clothes on. Okay? And I don't know what it is. I bug my son. He reads a little bit, you know, We used to read together. He's 30 years old now. But he says, my friends don't read either. I know that. The young folks just don't read. And I guess because you can't compete with all the special effects like this. I don't know. But when is the book ever better than the movie? Has anybody?
Never happened.
No, it's actually happened a couple of times. Most people would agree that the Godfather movie was better than the Godfather book. The Godfather book was really trashy. It was a trashy novel. But the movie was, you know, pretty substantial. And then there's this movie, if you like quirky stuff, and I do, I love quirky stuff, there's a book called Being There. And it's very quick read, very fast. You've done it, and it's pretty strange, right? The guy, the ramifications are pretty amazing. But it's pretty quick. The movie will turn your head around. Peter Sellers, one of the best actors of the 20th century, he played an idiot, a total imbecile, and the world thinks he's a genius. We got to watch it to the very end. Watch it to the very end. So there. Here's my plug for a cultural. You had a book you wanted to push. I thought you said.
It's because like when you were trying to say the three slogans from 1984, you kind of.
I'm forgetting them. What is it?
Oh damn! Like freedom is slavery.
Freedom is slavery. That's it. Freedom is slavery.
The thing is not what you're saying.
Truth is a lie. Truth is.
You gotta go make
some. I'm screwing them up.
I read a lot too. Yeah.
Okay, what book is that?
Oh, this is the Dean Koontz series, the one that.
Oh, he's very, very. Is it really a guy or is it several people, Dean Koontz? Because a lot of these people, they're not really.
Just one guy. Wait.
Some of the light writers are not real. There's like 20 writers. They have person's name.
No. Yeah,
he's a real guy. Okay. So books. The best part about the books, folks, the pictures are better. I'm not talking about graphic novels. Talking about the pictures in your mind. Okay, enough said. All right, so here are the advantages. Safer than cash, take advantage of the float, may get the rebates, demonstrates financial stability, and I think these are all bogus. I mean, this is okay, convenient, safer, but it's most important for financial emergencies and not talking about going to Cancun to help your uncle. Now, what are the disadvantages? Notice all the red and all the italics. Purchases are more expensive. Does it increase or decrease your purchasing power?
Increases.
Temptation to overspend. Yes. Ties up future income. Possible financial difficulties. And then potential loss of merchandise. No. This is true of your car, your maybe furniture, your house. But no, the credit cards, no. They're not. They want you to money. You got to love this one. Possible financial difficulties. So this is what I want you to do. Next time you have people have a credit card, right before you're ready to pull out the credit card, pull out the cash. And analyze your feelings. Analyze your emotions. How much easier is to buy with credit? How much easier or harder is it to buy with cash? Okay? I want you to do that. Because most people would say, it was so much easier when I just used my credit card and then had to pay it back. Yeah?
So, you know how some of our accounts are debit or credit, and you have to choose which one, but it's still coming out of your debit account. Mm-hmm. What's the difference in what the?
If you choose credit, the no advantage. If you use credit, then the merchant pays more. The merchant pays more. They want you to use debit. Yeah, they pay a fee both times. They pay a fee both times.
That's why I like the credit card. If it's like Best Buy has like the Citibank card.
Oh, it's better for them. Yeah, Target wants you to use their card. Walmart wants you to use their card because then they don't have to pay the fee to Visa or MasterCard.
So when we're using our bank account into the credit, it's not actually helping our score then.
I don't think so. I'm not sure though. Look it up.
It's basically nothing.
I doubt it because it's not tied to a credit.
It does not.
Yeah, she's right.
You're going to have no credit and have a bank account like that.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Okay, so now let's erase this. Closed-end credit are often called installment loans. So these are the kind of the big purchases that somebody asked about. The closed-end credit are the big purchases. You're buying maybe furniture, but a house, mortgage, automobile. Open-end credit are the credit cards. Sometimes called a line of credit. A line of credit. And you pay interest and finance charges. If you do not pay the bill in full when due, if you don't use it, you don't pay anything. These are credit cards, and we'll take a look at home equity line of credit in a bit, because credit cards are, and I wish I would have thought this one up, the bubonic plague of personal finance. Isn't that a great name? Bubonic plague. Very popular in the Middle Ages in Europe. Would wipe out one-third of the population, right? That was a joke. Popular. It wasn't really popular at all. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down. That's from the bubonic plague. Nearly 8 out of 10 American households carry one or more credit cards. One-third are the convenience users. These are the deadbeats. This is what Francisco was saying. He's one of the deadbeats. They pay off their balance in full each month. Take advantage of the points, the miles, the rebates. The other two-thirds are the borrowers. These are the people who are getting reamed. These are the people who are paying through the nose for their tremendous ability to borrow. And, you know, the other companies are not stupid. They, like Best Buy, like GM, they're like, hey, me some too. We want to get involved with this. And so GM was, I think, one of the first. You spent $20,000 on your credit card over how many years, and they took $1,000 or $2,000 off the price of a car. Which, depending on how you financed that $20,000, they could have made over several times, or maybe not. So debit cards and credit cards are not the same. They're not the same. The laws differ. There's a $50 limit on credit card fraud. That is all they can come after for you for. But they normally won't do it. They will waive, not this waive. W-A-I-V-E. Debit card fraud is a $50 limit if you report it within 2 days. If you report it within 6 months, there's a $500 limit. And if you don't report it after 6 months, there's no limit. All the more reason we want you to know what the hell's in your credit, in your bank account. Don't let them tell you what's in your bank account, because if you never find a thing after 6 months. Now, most all banks, most all credit unions will waive the above limits, not this waive. They will say, okay, no problem, we won't charge you. But they can. The law says they can, if it's a debit card, and if it's a credit card, $50. So what's the cost of convenience? Some people say, my credit card's so convenient. And they're right, but there's a cost for that. This is from the Wealthy Barber. But aren't credit cards a good way to save money? As long as you pay the total amount each month, you're essentially getting a free loan. Plus, they are so convenient. Now, Kathy is the big spender. Yeah, she makes a lot of money, but she spends a lot of money. Not so fast, says Roy. By taking advantage of the float, as it is called, you may save a few dollars a year, but the pennies you save each year are swamped by the hundreds or even thousands of dollars you spend because of the very same convenience you speak so highly of. How many times have you rationalized the purchase of items simply because you told yourself you wouldn't have to pay for it until next month? And then when the bill came the next month, you ask yourself, how did I spend $500? The cost of convenience is very high. So I already said, try pulling out that card, and then don't do it. Pull out the cash and feel your emotions. Try to analyze your emotions, which is not easy to do because, you know, emotions.
Hey, fine, buy it now button. You don't even have to. You can even take out a card on your phone.
Yeah, they're going to have no click. You know, they're eventually going to have no click. All you got to do is look at the thing. Okay, you bought it. No, I didn't want to buy it. Doesn't matter. You looked at it. The 3 second rule. Yeah, you looked at it for more than 3 seconds. We can see your eyes. Okay. How many credit cards do you have? Zero. Zilch. Nada. No way. Forget it. They ain't getting their hooks at me. A. B. I only have one. I swear. I use it to buy gas. Okay, I have two. I use the one to pay off the other. And more than two, and I lost count a long time ago. I'm not going to tell you. A, B, C, D. So a few A's, a few B's, a few B's. Okay. Where's your A, B, C, D's? A, okay. I got them in the night. Okay, good, cool. And how much do you owe? Nothing. I am serious. I do not owe a cent.
Okay.
Less than 1,000. Between 1,000 and 5,000 and more than 5,000, and you don't have to say so.
Well, it counts as not owing if I pay it off.
Yeah, if you pay it off every month, you're using it like a debit card. What's the average?
13 grand.
No, it's not that. Not close to 9,000. After the Great Recession, it started going down, going down, going down. And I thought, yeah, it's because of business 121 financial. No, because of the Great Recession, and now it's going back up again. And people are late on their car loans, which is a bad sign.
Does that mean they're defaulting on like even more?
Right, exactly. And there's a few, you know, people are wondering, does this mean we're going into recession? We'll see. We don't know yet. That's the problem. You don't know you're in a recession, so often it's gone, or you're in the middle of it. So my advice, for what it's worth, use your credit card like a debit card. If you cannot pay off the balance at the end of the month, don't use it. If you find you are abusing the darn thing, look at your cash flow statement. I'm abusing my credit card. Cut the damn thing up. Notice I use the term singular instead of plural. It's not, you can have more than one, but it's not a good idea. Actually, I do, so I shouldn't say that. If you go outside the country, some of them will charge you 1, 2, 3%. They'll give you a good rate of interest, I mean a good rate of exchange rate, but they'll charge a 1, 2, or 3% transaction fee. So have you heard of Capital One?
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that.
Really?
You can use their credit card outside the United States. They'll give you a good exchange rate on the pesos of dollars or yens of dollars or euros of dollars, and they will not charge you a transaction fee. Mission Federal does. So I told them I'm going to use it. They said, okay, well, sorry.
I read a book about credit cards, and it said, put in a freezing glass of water.
Right, that's the cue. Yeah, because first I try to scare you. Then we're going, okay, now why do you want credit? And so you can get it, and then put it in a glass of water, put the glass of water in the freezer, and now, if you really want to use it, what do you got to do? You got to wait for it. No, you can't. Just read the numbers on the side, type in the numbers. Okay. So, home equity. So, now let's turn our attention to home equity lines of credit. How are we doing for time? Not bad, because we got to get to 32 or so. Okay. Home equity lines of credit are very, very cool. They're you can think of them like a credit card. In fact, some states, not California, you can tie a credit card to your home equity line of credit. California and a few other states won't let you do it. Which I think is a good idea, because it's not a good idea to run up your credit card. Run up your home equity line of credit. Home equity line of credit allows you to take advantage of the value of your home without having to sell your home. So remember, assets minus liability? It's based on the equity. They use the term equity. We use the term net worth, but they mean the same thing. It's also called a second mortgage, a second trustee. Careful, I might ask you that. HELOC, or HALOC, home equity line of credit. It will be generally much cheaper than a credit card, and the interest was tax deductible, not anymore, thanks to the tax cuts. But there's a danger involved, and I love the word in Spanish for danger. Peligro. Doesn't it sound dangerous? Sounds peligro. That sounds dangerous. Don't pay your credit cards. You destroy your credit rating. It's not good, but it's not the end of the world. If you don't pay your home equity line of credit, they'll come and take your home. Not good, right? Not good? Definitely not good. So let's do the example. And this is on your worksheet. This is number 3. Okay, so please turn those on vibrate. So let's take a look at number 3. Oh, actually, you got it on your hand. We'll just do it because it's here also. Same thing. The home is currently worth $200,000. Okay? So that's the fair market value. Now, this is a bird house here in San Diego or a dog house somewhere. So that's the fair market value. But let's say we're living in, you know, Ozarks or something, Arkansas. But now, we have a first trust deed. And you won't hear people say that unless they're in the industry. Normally what they'll call it is my mortgage. This is my mortgage. This is my loan on my home. So how much of the house do I own? Tough question, folks. Everyone should say $50,000. Wait till I ask you. The house is worth the fair market value, $200,000. I have a loan for $150,000 that's based on the house, so it's the first trust deed. So how much equity, how much net worth do I have? Everyone should say $50,000, but you didn't do it. You're stubborn class. But smart. You're a smart class, but stubborn. Okay, anyway. Okay. So this is our home equity. Right? Our net worth. Our how much? Isn't that nice of the bank? They actually own the house. But they let us live there. It's very nice of them. And pay them. Now a reputable lender would let you borrow up to 75, 80%, or even maybe 90% of the current value of your home. This is where people get a little tricky. Does that have anything to do with the mortgage? No. They take, and it's called loan to value. That's what you'll hear the bankers and the credit union folks say, the loan officers. They take the fair market value of your house, and they multiply it times the loan to value multiplier, which is typically 80%, 75, 90%. So they're going to let you borrow $160,000 on that home. But wait a minute. How much do you already own? Oh, I'm sorry. How much do you already owe?
75%.
Yeah, you owe $150,000. So this is the existing mortgage. They're not going to let you borrow that twice. That's, wouldn't you love to do that, right? And then run away? No, don't do it. So this is the maximum they're going to allow you to borrow. $160,000 minus the $150,000 that you already owe, the existing mortgage, they will give you a home equity line of credit for $10,000. So now what can you do with that? Well, if you're going to buy it, then you got to sell the other. use it as a down payment on another house. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea, actually. You can use it as a down payment on another house. But no, this is more for, but that's cool. That's a good idea. In other words, if you're going to do the real estate investment, say the furnace blows up or the roof needs to be repaired, right? So it's there for you if you need it in case of an emergency. Although, what people did in the 2000s, they started using it like a piggy bank. They started using it to live, which is great until you know, you run out, and then you're in trouble, and that's one of the things that got us in trouble.
How you end up underwater on your
home. I tell you, underwater. Hang on a minute. Next, inverted, upside down. Like, well, yeah, good. Well, we're going to get to that. Okay, now, that's the typical. You go to your credit union, go to a reputable bank. There's a scenario. But there are some unscrupulous lenders out there. No, not, you know, snakes of Armenia. And they will allow you to borrow up to 125%. Now, you don't see too many now, but in the mid-2000s, you saw these all everywhere. Consolidate your car loans, credit card bills into one easy monthly payment. Run up your credit card bills all over again, and then lose your house to us when we foreclose. You don't see this on the billboard. You see this one right here. You see this one right here. Because they want you to take all your credit cards, pay them off, maybe pay your car loan off, and then just have one bill. And then what happens now? The credit cards are all zero. And they, use me. You've earned it. You've deserved it. So, same example. We got the $200,000, this is number four on your handout. We got the $200,000 house, fair market value, $150,000 existing mortgage, so $50,000 equity, right? That's how much? Same. Everything's the same until we get to the loan-to-value multiplier. You take the fair market value of the house times 125%. Now, how do you do the calculation here, folks? 1.25, right? That's very smart. That's 125%. And now they will allow you to borrow a maximum of $250,000. You understand that? That's the one that trips people up. This is the maximum. They're not going to let you borrow that much because there's already a loan of $150,000. So the mortgage is there, and that's not going away. But look at how much they're going to let you borrow. By just moving the loan-to-value multiplier from 80% to 125%, they'll let you borrow up to $100,000. And this is, Laura used the term. This allows you to get into deep kimchi. You know what kimchi is?
Delicious.
It's delicious, but it stinks. It's smelly stuff. It's smelly stuff. It's really good. Some people are like, or whatever. Because now you can borrow $50,000. Just like that. Go out and buy a click car or a glick or slick or whatever it is. You hear click cars? You never heard of click cars? On the back, they have CLK. Yeah. Or some of them have SLK. I like slick, but they're only two-seaters, right? On the front, they got a broken peace sign. Have you seen these? Oh, right. Yeah, I've always said these Benz. They're built in Georgia. But anyway, 50 grand, right? And in 8 years, 10 years, it's worth 8,000, whatever. So now, if you got in financial trouble, do you own any of your house?
No.
You have no worth. If you go more than 50,000, you are underwater. Upside down equity, it's called. And this is what was going on like crazy, about 20 years ago. 2003, 2002, up to 2007. The reason people were very happy to do this is because the price of their house kept going up and up and up and up. So what do they care? Right? But then when it stopped in 2007 and then started plummeting in 2008, they just walked away. Or they just waited to be foreclosed upon. Right? You with me? Understand? They're not the only thing that was going on, right? The subprime and the liar loans, the no-doc loans. We're going to discuss that when we get to Chapter 7. You're really quiet. You see what's out there, folks? There's landmines out there, folks. It all comes down to the choices we make. So, sources of consumer credit. Inexpensive loans. Parents and family members. Are you going to borrow from family members or friends or parents or something like that? No, some of you already did. Okay, are you going to lend to family members?
It depends on who it is.
Yeah.
And it depends on
the circumstances. Okay, well, in my humble opinion, if you do this, just think it's a gift.
Yeah.
Because you're probably not going to get it back, right? And if you do borrow from people, pay them back. They will be amazed. They will be blown away that you actually paid them back, because it just doesn't work that way. And it destroys friendships. It's not a good idea. Now, there's an exception that we'll get to when we get to Chapter 7 on housing. There's an exception of lending to the kids, the parents, the grandparents, lending to the young couple starting out that we'll get to, which is actually an exception that proves the rule. But for the most part, if you lend, now you have to be careful because there's some tax consequences involved. If you lend somebody more than $15,000 and you had every reason to believe you were not going to get the money back, now the IRS is going to be upset with you. Right, yeah, right. We'll discuss that at the end of the semester. It's complicated. Now, what about loans based on assets, savings accounts? Cool! This is what... So now have we scared you enough? Good, good, good. Because now we're going to tell you how to do it, right? We're going to tell you how to get a credit card, how to use a credit card, and build your credit. Because it is something you want to do. If you want to live in our society, it's something you want to do. Shows responsibility, makes travel so much easier. And later on in life, you might want to buy a house or you want to have a credit score. So we'll discuss that in detail. But so this is what we're going to take a look at in just a minute. The next place, if you don't have one of these, a loan based on assets, a secured loan, then go to the commercial banks, credit unions. Credit unions, folks, very good place to go. And then if you can at all, stay away from the car dealerships, the appliance dealerships, because they don't lend you the money. They have somebody else who's lending you the money, and they're getting a commission, and they're going to charge you a hell of a lot more, typically. But as we said, some of the car dealerships were offering these really good deals, but it means you don't get to take advantage of the incentive. They're going to give you $1,000 to buy this car, or we'll give you 0.9%. And then credit cards.
Those
that
are automatically getting it from the bank.
I think so. Shop around, certainly. Shop around. But the credit union is probably going to be your better deal. Sometimes banks, sometimes it's the business. Let's talk. So now, the secured versus unsecured loans. A secured loan is based on some kind of asset. So that's the mortgage, right? You don't pay your mortgage, what do?
Take your home.
Everyone, you got to get this one right, folks. Okay. If you don't pay your mortgage, what are they going to do? They're going to take your home. You don't pay your car. Right, furniture. So these are called secured loans, and there's some kind of collateral. There is something of value that the creditor, the lender, can take. Unsecured loans are exactly the opposite. They are only secured by the full faith and credit of you saying, I'm going to pay you back. And now, why would anybody do that? That's what credit scores are all about. We'll discuss on Thursday. But this is a tremendous opportunity for those of you who have never put any put a dime on credit, or have did and it turned out really badly. Because a secured credit card, that's what we call it, a secured credit card, is an excellent way to begin building your credit to obtain to obtain a good credit score, because that's what we want. You say you take $500. You go to your credit union, banks will do it too, especially if you already have an account there, and you put $500 in a savings account. A savings account is locked. That's supposed to be a cage. I don't know. I'm not a very good drawer. But that $500 is now locked away in a secured account. You can't touch this, right? And what they do is they base your credit card on that $500. And they give you a credit limit of $500. See how that works? If you don't make the payment, they take it out of the account. Now, don't do that. Make the payment, okay? Did you want to say something?
You can do a secured loan that goes automatically from bank account to bank account at your credit union, and then you don't have to worry about paying off the card if you want to build credit.
Before they give you the credit, they're probably going to want this.
Well, it
could be a personal loan.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I got it correct, but Laura is saying set up automatic payments so that you don't even have to think about this thing. Set it up so that it's sometimes called auto pay, automatically in full every month. In 6 months to a year, your credit score will rise to a very respectable score. No. Don't touch the $500. You can't. They won't let you. But if you don't make the payment, they're going to take it out of that. Plus, they're going to ding you with a late payment fee. Plus, it's going to go on your credit score. Don't do that. That's exactly the opposite of what you're trying to do. I'm not sure I understand. What account are you talking about? This is a secured
savings
account.
Yeah.
And you can't touch this money. Because the credit card is based on that. Mm-hmm. Now, use the credit card to go buy 800 calories of Jimba Jamba Jamba Juice or whatever.
A
personal loan. That's a different thing. You can get a personal loan, personal line of credit.
And then you don't have to worry about the cards or anything.
Yeah, but then you're paying interest. If you get a personal loan to buy a stereo or whatever, you're paying interest on that personal loan. And then you're setting up automatic payments. I think this is better. Let's talk about it after class. Okay, because I think...
We're not.
Is your personal loan...
No, just...
Okay, good. Okay, so use the credit card now to buy, I don't know, stuff at iTunes or whatever, but, you know, $50, maybe use to pay gas, and then every month you pay off the balance in full automatically. Make sure the issuer reports your credit usage. All banks and credit unions are going to do that. Make sense? Mm-hmm. And your score will rise to the point within 6 months you're going to start getting these things in the mail. Ooh, we want you to have a credit card. You have shown a very remarkable responsibility. And so we'd like to offer you a credit card at only 24.9%. And then you'll go back to your credit union and say, look, I'm okay. Everybody loves me now. And they will boop, let the money out and make it an unsecured credit card. Cool? That's something you really do want to, and especially for people, friends of yours who got into trouble, maybe went through bankruptcy, and they can't get a loan, tell them to raise up $300, $400, $500, go to their credit union, whatever, and do this. Cool? Okay, good. Now, before you take out a loan, ask yourself, can you afford the loan? What do you plan to give up in order to make the payments? Because what goes on behind the scenes is they're going to look at your credit score, right? But they're also going to look at two major ratios. your debt payment to income ratio and your debt to equity ratio. I better yet, just don't do it. But here, this is a very simple calculation. But people, it's on your assignment sheet, and there are examples in here. So you're going to play with. Where's my? There it is. It's not that hard. We take our debt payments, only our debt payments. See, people start putting their phone payment and their gym membership. No. Only the payments that are tied to debts. Does not include your house. Does not include rent. And the book says it should be less than 20%. I think that's too high. So here's an example. This person has $1,500 of gross monthly income, and then they have to pay their taxes, Social Security, their IRA contributions. So this is the net income. You use the net income. You take the net income, not the gross. Okay? That goes in the bottom. And then you put any debt payments, the Squeezia, the Monster card, the Disaster card, the auto loan. So this person has $213 of debt. That's supposed to be debt payment. Debt payments. So they, and again, doesn't include a mortgage. So $213 of debt payments every month divided by 1068 of net income, and then they're at 20%. Now, can this person make any more debt? Can this person pay any more debts? It would be really, really tough. So these are the minimum payments. This is when you find people say, I can't even make more than the minimum payment. Well, you're going to be making these damn payments for years, as we'll see on Thursday. So, yeesh. That's why I get out the credit, get out the cash flow statement, see what you can get rid of, and pay these things off. Kill. You know, some of you probably see me write kill. Kill those credit cards. Questions, thoughts? Okay, the next one is the debt-to-equity ratio. So this is almost 20, approximately 20%. This person's in trouble. Now, this one takes your total liabilities. Again, it does not include any housing that you have, any real estate. And you divide that by your net worth, which we use to calculate on our balance sheet. And the book says it should be less than 100%. Well, businesses try to keep it below 30 to 50%. I think 100% is outrageous. So here's another example. Automobile, furniture, computer. This is from the balance sheet. This is from the net worth statement. The other stuff was the cash flow statement. So they have $1,200 of assets, equity, excluding your home. And then their liabilities, auto, credit cards, $13,000. What? They are underwater, upside down. They have $13,000 of debt, including the home. Net worth is $12,000. This is greater than 100%. They owe more than they own. And this is typical of younger folks who, some of you, who have incurred a lot of student loan debt. And people get really upset. Should I go through bankruptcy? No, don't go through bankruptcy because they won't get rid of student loans in bankruptcy. And in the student loans, it's a national, I wouldn't use the word crisis, but it's a national issue that we're going to have to deal with because we help the banks, right? We help the banks. And so we should be doing something for the students. And there are ways of the loan forgiveness things. Cool. Questions, thoughts? This is your assignment. This is part of your assignment. Question, Laura. You got a question?
Does it come from your assets or like your personal possessions?
Mm-hmm.
And your liabilities are the things you have to pay monthly.
They're the balances.
This has nothing to do with the salary.
No. That's okay. The other one. The salary was this one. This is your salary. This okay. is the cash flow. This is data from your cash flow statement, and this is data from the balance from the net worth statement. Cool. Okay, now, you're kind of going, I'm going to go, okay, we're almost done. Okay. Sooner or later, someone's going to come up to you, and they're going to say, I went to the bank, but they wouldn't give me a loan. But they said they'd give me a loan if I got a co-signer. So would you co-sign for me? It's going to happen. Yeah, it's going to happen. Before co-signing a loan, remember that if the person doesn't pay, you're going to have to pay because it's going to affect your credit report as well as theirs. Can you afford to pay it? What kind of loan are you taking on? You can have the statement sent to you. Now it's all electronic. They'll send you copies. And 3 out of 4 cosigners wind up paying the bill. So what's the answer?
No.
That's right. I answered to this question.
What does that do to the credit?
Oops.
The person who cosigns?
Oh, both get hammered. Both get hammered.
I'm saying, like, what if everything gets paid perfectly?
Oh, it helps. Yes, it helps. Yay!
Another big purchase, and you paid off that loan or whatever. Are they going to say, well, why did you have to get a cosigner for this loan?
Well, by that time, your credit score will have risen, and you won't need a cosigner if you're responsible. So what's the answer?
Don't do it.
Okay, we're gonna practice this now. Now you can just make it really quick. No. Forget it. It isn't gonna happen. Or you can draw it out, you can say no, and really relish it. Okay, so you ready? Okay. The bank wouldn't give me a loan. But they said, I haven't asked you yet. they said if I got a co-signer, they would give me a loan. Would you co-sign
nope.
for me?
Nope.
Okay. All right. So, what do you think? You ready? You ready to become part of the benevolent machine and be bestowed upon the graces of credit? Okay. When we come back on Thursday, we will discuss how this whole thing works, and that is through your credit score. And then what happens when things go badly?
Badly.
So study every day. Do your assignments. If you're back behind, turn them in. We want you to be awesome, but you got to do your part. We see you on Thursday. Now I'm letting you go a little early. Do you feel like you're getting your money's worth?
Yes.
Okay. I want to make sure. I don't want to cheat you out of anything. I'll stick around.